Amen. Hallelujah. We're grateful to be here. You're probably going to watch Matthew and I fumble with our new hearing aids. But that's the price for wireless. And if you ever wonder why people on stage at professional concerts are always putting them in their ears and taking them out of their ears, it's because of the clarity you get with two. You don't get with one. But you lose all of the main effects with two. So there's a price to be paid both ways, just to explain something that probably never amounted to a hill of beans for most of y'all. So we're going to fumble. But all in all, is the music too loud? Are y'all needing some healing? It's okay. Sounds pretty good. Ariel is running sound for us, and we're grateful for her. Matthew got married, and his wife said, "Is there any place for me?" And you know, Mom, Matthew beat Jim to the stick, and I plugged Ariel in there, and she's just been going gangbusters, running sound and learning how to run sound. My sound man at home, if you don't have more than one sound man trained for the church, pray in teenagers that'll learn. Because you're raising up daughters, and daughters are good teenage boy bait. Just saying. Just saying, you know. If you can't figure out a way to get them in, raise up a few teenage girls, and that always helps. And so I was training my sound man, and he went to a big arena. Daddy just about had a heart attack right there. Michael, Brother Mike, we're going to have a conversation after this meeting. I love you, Brother Shannon. I know you have guns, so I know she's safe. Oh, yes, and dogs. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm not trying to get her married off. Just fill up the church with young boys. You know how this works. I know you know how this works. Anyway, put the train back on track. What was I even talking about? Oh, my sound man. So I trained my sound man how to run sound. He was a young man in the church, needed a place for ministry. He had a mind for computer technical stuff. And I said, since your mind is geared towards computer technical stuff, why don't I just teach you how to run sound? And so that's what we did. We taught him how to run sound. And he went to a great big conference. There were 600 people there. And the sound was atrocious. And he said, and this was only like a month ago, he said, I just about crawled out of my skin. I asked everybody, I said, where's the mixing board? Let me add it. I can fix this. I know how to fix this. And that's what the church needs more of today, is people willing to step up and fix what they see is broken.
Amen.
And I can't fix everything that's broken here at Trinity Worship Center. All I can do is preach Jesus and let him mend your hearts to a place where there's restoration, health, and wholeness, and we can go forward in what God's trying to do. Does that sound fair?
Amen.
I'm nothing. I'm 5'6". I'm short and redheaded. Remember, I took fat out. We ain't saying that no more. 5'6", I'm short and redheaded, and I'm getting skinnier every day with Jesus. I told somebody, for what I paid to lose 20 pounds a month ago, I could have probably bought a lifetime subscription to any gym. But that's the way it goes sometimes. We're just grateful to be here. I want to preach a simple message tonight. And it's 11:59, and God's getting ready to break the chains.
Amen.
You see, as I was studying, I said, God, I need a word. And I don't just need one word, I need four. And I need each word that's coming along to be in its place. Because if I preach Friday's word on Sunday morning, just because I feel like it, it's out of place. If I preach Sunday's word on Saturday night, just because I feel like it, it's out of place. Let me tell you something. There is an ordained place for everything that happens in the work and the word of God. It's not our right to ask God whether or not the word is from him. It's our right to find out where that word is supposed to go. Every word you get from God is not necessarily just for you. It might be for your husband or for your child or for your neighbor down the street. Whew! I wasn't going to preach this, but I think I'm going to. Because, see, we don't even understand. God's speaking in a today word. And we won't even give him credit for what he's doing now. Well, Brother Mike, this is 2014, and it's June. The year's half over. Listen, if God don't speak to me today, tomorrow, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, you get the picture, Wednesday, right on back to next Friday night, if God don't speak to me every day, I'm out of line.
Amen.
We want to know why God isn't moving in our church house. It's because too many churches have gotten out of line and lost focus.
Amen.
I didn't say pastors. We want to blame everything on the pastor. It's not all the pastor's fault. It's not all the pastor's husband's fault. You know, most pastors are men, and then their wives are, you know, so it's all the wives' fault, not the, just the... This family's just being led by God. They're doing their part. Why aren't you praying for them every day? Morning, afternoon, evening. You know what? Try this, church. Father, bless this food and my pastors. In Jesus' name, amen. If our leadership was on our minds in that kind of a capacity, the devil wouldn't be able to get through to them.
Amen.
Wow, that's good preaching. So we need a word from God. And when God gives you a word, how many of y'all ever been driving down the road and something come to your mind and all of a sudden things in your life made sense? And it's not because you figured it out, because most of us just aren't that smart. It's because God gave us a revelatory word, a revelation word for our life for that moment. Sometimes you're waking up from deep sleep with a word. And you know that word is good because you can feel it working all over your spirit, in your fingertips, in your toes. You have a word.
Amen.
But you don't know what to do with it. God is that word for me. When you get a word like that, there's two things we must do, we forget to do, but we must do. The first one, write it down. Why? Because God just spoke. And if you can write it down and look back at it a year from now, whoo! Can you imagine how increased your own understanding is going to be? So when you get that word, get you a notebook and write it down. Second thing you need to do is ask for direction on it.
Amen.
Why? Because if I can get direction on this one word from God, then I can help you out. If I can get direction on this one word from God, maybe I can be like the angel was that came to Daniel after he prayed for 21 days and broke the curse of the enemy and give the word from God that says, God heard you in the beginning, but the devil has withstood you. Well, Brother Mike, that's just a word. Listen, with one word, God spoke all of earth into existence.
Amen.
With one word, he created the moon and the sun. With one word, he created water. And with one word, my brother, my sister, he created you.
Amen.
Who are you or I to say that God isn't speaking in a today word? The problem is the church has forgotten what to do with it. So I just wanted to remind you real quick. When you woke up and your spirit is quickened, hallelujah. When you woke up in the middle of the afternoon, you're just sitting there kind of daydreaming, and all of a sudden you hit that brick wall and you're awake and you have a divine revelation from God. Write it down.
Amen.
And pray for direction. As I was studying, I said, God, I need a word. God took me to Acts chapter 16. Verse 16 reads like this. How many of you got a Bible?
Amen.
Do you put the Bible on the wall here?
Yes.
How many of you still got a Bible? Amen. Not that I'm against it. Just takes someone to run it. Most of our Bibles only get dusted off on Sundays or special services. You know, Matthew told me the other day, he said, I've read the word every day most of my life. And he said, and just a few months ago, I was challenged to read the New Testament, so I read it. Matthew clear through to Revelation. He said, oh, it was so good. Did you know this was in the Bible? I said, yes. Did you know that was in the Bible? And some of the things he brought up, I forgot, but I knew they were in there. And different things just touched him in different ways. He got to Revelation. He went to Genesis. He said, I'm on through this, dude. He got to where the chambermaid of the prophet got sick of her husband and went back to her father. And he set out and he went and got her, and the father detained him for 4 days. Stay and sleep and rest and be well. Stay and sleep. And finally on the fifth day, he just got up, took his wife and left. Made it to several different towns. The last town he made it to before making it home, they took the woman and they raped her to where she died. And he took her home and they cut her into pieces, and he 12 pieces, and he sent her out to each of the 12 tribes of Israel to show the abomination that had happened in one of the Israeli cities. And Matthew said, why's that gotta be in there? That's a good question. Maybe it's because the abomination was so abominable to God that that one story made it in the archives of history so it wasn't repeated. Don't let your story be one of those. And he's making his way through, and he's having a good time with David and Saul, and Saul's chasing out to kill his son-in-law. You know, it's just wonderful. One of these days, Brother Shannon, you're going to understand that, chasing out to kill the son-in-law. You're going to relate to Brother Saul. I know my father can relate. Who can my father relate? And relate and and my grandfather with my dad, I know he can relate. You know, some of y'all can relate to Saul heading out to kill his son-in-law. Because we forget that that's who David was. His gift from the king for killing Goliath was his daughter, Michal. Whew, that changes things a little bit. I'm not going to preach about that tonight. If you have Acts chapter 16, verse 16, say amen.
Amen.
And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. What's wrong with that? The very next verse, Paul casts the devil out. Wouldn't it be amazing if you, saint of God, got so filled with the power and presence of God, the only thing the devil could speak about you is the truth? Now watch this. This is why it was disturbing. If you've never heard it explained, let me explain it real quick. The devil proclaimed the greatness of God through these men, which meant to the children of Israel that their power was demonic. If the devil's proclaiming good about you, then it must be by his power you're doing the good. And when Paul turned to the young lady and said, in the name of Jesus, demon, come out of this girl, there was no confusion. God got the glory and the devil was defeated. Isn't that amazing? We skip over it. We don't even think about some of these things. But the bottom line is, Paul and Silas were so filled with the Holy Ghost and doing such a powerful work for the Lord that the devil had to proclaim who they were and what they were doing. These men, watch this. These men, verse 17, are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this she did many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that same hour. This was not a laborious deliverance. If any of you have ever seen a demon cast out of a person during those good, powerful Pentecostal services, first of all, you'll never forget it. And second of all, you know that some of them can wax into the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth hour. Some demons just have such a hold they don't want to let go. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that same hour. And when her masters saw the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble the city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. It's kind of funny that the political religious leaders of the day got it wrong, because Paul was not only a Jew, but he was a Roman. Isn't it amazing how when the devil wants to convict you, watch this, God's conviction will cause your heart to be humbled and turn. The devil's conviction will cause your heart to be hardened and locked into a prison. It's interesting, isn't it? It's amazing how that when the devil wants to convict you, he'll only take half the truth and do it with half. That's why when you're on the witness stand and you take your oath, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? That's because there's more to it than just your side of the story. Certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics. Am I in the? Nope, I'm not. Let me jump over to the other page where I'm supposed to be. Verse 22. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. If you can imagine that where this jailer put Paul and Silas, he didn't put them where the common thief went. He didn't put them where just the person who was caught stealing an apple went. The person caught dishonoring their father or mother went. He put them where the murderers went. He put them where the horse thieves went. It takes a lot to steal a horse. It really does. Even in that day, it took a lot to steal a horse. Where the camel thieves went. Why? Because his charge was to keep them safe. What that meant was make sure they ain't going nowhere. Can you imagine in this atmosphere, Paul looks at Silas and says, you know, my back's a little tender, but I know a cure for that. They were beaten, humiliated out in the public square. And they were sitting in prison as if they had murdered somebody. Paul started saying, there's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. And I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. Can you imagine the murderer next to Paul saying, man, are you retarded? Shut it. I wanted to hear that trash. There are sweet expressions on our face, know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. The horse thief on the side of Silas said, God, if you're real, will you just shut their mouths? Because this is stupid. Sweet Holy Spirit. Oh, man, they're going to praise God all night. Sweet Heavenly Dove. Oh, man, I don't want to listen to this. Stay right here with... I should have been at home with my nagging wife. Filling us with your love. And for these blessings. And for these... Somebody find a corn cob and shove it in their mouth hole. We lift our hearts. And then the clock struck 12. And the whole place began to shake. Can you imagine what the murderer said? Woo, someone hold me. I don't know what's going on here. Because of two men putting aside their humiliation, putting aside their imprisonment, reached from the depth of their soul to praise their God because their life had become a place of worship. Without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place. It's kind of amazing how when we sang that, everybody was singing by place. And I believe that when Paul and Silas sang something like that in the prison, everybody was singing when they finished out the verse after the earthquake came. Because they didn't stop praising God at the point of power. They praised him right on through until they knew they were in complete victory. Watch this. Then the next thing that happens is the jailer goes, oh my goodness, I thought I had him safe. He takes out his sword and he puts it to his chest and he leans forward. Paul says, stop! Don't hurt yourself, we didn't go nowhere. Sweet Holy Spirit. That man said, what? You mean you didn't break out of here? Every door is open and you're not chained anymore? Sweet Heavenly Dove. Watch this. There's only 10 times in the entire Word of God this happens. The jailer at that moment commits his heart to God, and his entire family does the same. There's only 10 times in the Word of God that happens. And this is one of them. Why? Because they did what was beyond natural human emotion, and they stayed where God had put them, even after they'd been freed. Some of you have been feeling like you've been in prison for... Some of you have been feeling like you've been in prison for a while, but God has put you here, and if you'll... Take just a moment to realize where you are. You're not shackled. You're not in bondage. You are free. Amen. And God's getting ready to show up. And when God shows up, people always get saved. Amen. I'm tired of the church being defeated. There's no cause for it. Matthew said to me, he said, I'm coming to Iowa City. I know God said so. I said, are you ready for battle? Are you ready for a fight? If you're not sure this is God, don't do it. Because it's going to be a struggle. For 4 months, I prayed for him in earnest. I said, God, I can't walk this with him. I can't walk it for him. I know it's got to be discouraging. I knew that one of the jobs wasn't paying him. I didn't find out the other one wasn't paying him until a week ago. That's a man of great character because on his word he said he'd do a job. He stays and finishes it without pay. Whew. I can't say I would have. I think that's probably how that Saul knew David was going to be next king, because when David had the opportunity to kill his father-in-law, he wouldn't do it. He just cut off a little border of his skirt and held it up at the cave mouth and said, hey, Dad. He actually calls him father in that passage. He says, hey, Dad, look, God delivered you into my hand. If you will be the man that God called you to be or the woman that God called you to be, God will take care of the rest. He doesn't need another T.D. Jakes. I love to hear that man preach. But he doesn't need another one. He got one. He doesn't need another Billy Graham. He doesn't need another Sister Kim McNamer. He already got one of them. He doesn't need another Mike Douthart. Thank God there's only one of me. What he needs is for you to be the man or the woman that he called you to be.
Amen.
And live your life in a place of worship. Watch this. That even in prison, you cry out to him. Mama, I don't know you. I know of you, but I don't know you. But I know that the road you've paved for your daughter and for your granddaughter has been true. And it's going to lead them to victory.
Yes.
All of them. It's good to see you. I know you've paved the way in prayer for your children, for your grandchildren. And it will lead to victory.
Yes.
Nothing you've done for the Lord will ever return void. If the word of God won't do it, neither will your works. I'm thankful tonight that we're able to be here at Trinity Worship Center. I'm thankful tonight that I'm able to preach a word that says, even though you feel like this is prison, and some of you do feel like you're in bondage tonight. I felt it 3 weeks ago for this place and for this time. There is a spirit that has gripped the community around this church. Not this church, but the community around it that is blinding them to what God is going to do. And when God prospers this church, it's not going to be directly from Cahokia. It's going to be from everywhere without in the county and counties around. There have been things that this church has had to grow through. I didn't say go through, because going through is worthless unless you grow from the situation. But there are things that this church has had to grow through. And now that you're standing on the edge, understand this. It is 11:59. And if you will praise him and deliver the right word at the right time, he's going to break the doors down where this church is concerned. I came to deliver that word to this church tonight. And I know it's right. I know it's right. Brother Mike, you're a prophet. No, I'm Brother Mike. Leave your titles for somebody else. I know the word of God. I know when I've heard it. And I know when I need to speak it. Sister Kim, you're the right person for the job. He's giving you all the right tools. Your quiver is just about full. And you're about to take off with help. I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful for you. If I have a prayer tonight, it's this. May God prosper Trinity Worship Center so that when you bring us back in the future, it's full on Friday night. I thank God for you.